You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the gym class here at KGYM. It is a Thursday edition as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side today. And we'll check in with Mark in just a moment. Ben on the other side of the glass doing yeoman's duty as well here today. Got a great show for you. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us. We will have our off the glass segment. We have that each Thursday for you. And we will talk with Coach Kevin Lehman coming up here in just a little bit. As plenty to talk about in the world of college basketball. Also plenty to talk about in the world of college football with the news today that another great tradition coming to an end as far as college athletics is concerned. The college football playoff is going to officially expand to 12. We'll talk about that more. The last Big Ten ACC challenge, at least for a while, goes to the ACC. They were very impressive for the most part. We'll talk about all that and a bowling night in America wrap up for you. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, it is 319-366-1600 as we come your way here from the Circus Sports Iowa studios. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to their website at dupaco.com. You can also learn more about them by going to our website at kgymradio.com. As we come your way on this Thursday, this windy Thursday on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well. I think Mr. Mark Dukes is with me here. How are you?
I'm good. Are we all good?
We're all good, man.
Well, good. Good afternoon to you and everyone out there. And with the recent upgrades at the studio, I had to dial an audible here, and I'm not very technologically sound, but I'm glad we're okay.
You did it, though, man. You did it without the aid of somebody, you know, under the age of 35.
I'm a Skype journeyman now, huh?
I guess you are. You can put that down on the resume. So, yeah, good for you. You're batting 1,000 here today. Hey, we start things off on the program today. Of course, very significant passing yesterday with Christine McVie of Fleetwood Mac. And then today, two pretty big sports personalities, former athletes passing away. We learned late last night that former Kansas quarterback for the Chargers, John Hadle, passing away. And then this morning we woke up to the news that one of the most colorful baseball players of all time, pitcher or position player, passing away, and that is the Hall of Famer Gaylord Perry passing away earlier on today. And Gaylord Perry, like I said, one of the more colorful guys around, and he's a Hall of Famer. A lot of people, have their own separate thoughts and opinions if he should be in the Hall of Fame, Mark, because basically, and he was the first to admit it, he threw spitballs.
Yeah, he spitballed his way into the Hall of Fame. And, of course, when he started throwing it, Perry, 84, by the way, when he passed, if it wasn't legal, it wasn't really enforced. And it forced some changes in Major League Baseball in regards to greasing the ball. And Perry was always forthright about it. And he reformed in later years and said he was living by the letter of the law in the 1980s. But he was a terrific pitcher, as was his brother, Jim.
Yeah.
Terrific combination there. And as far as John Hadle goes, I loved watching the guy. Not only with the Chargers, he was at Kansas. I don't remember many greater quarterbacks out of Kansas than John Hadle, but I think he had a political career as well, didn't he?
I believe so. That is right. The one thing I remember about John Hadle, the fact he wore number 21, which was, you know, that was he was a renegade as far as the NFL was concerned in quarterbacks because, you know, you didn't get to wear those numbers. I think you can now if you choose to do so. They would not let Bernie Kosar wear that number, by the way. He had to go to 19. Remember when he was a Miami Hurricane?
That's right.
He wore a number with a 2 in front of it. So, yeah, that's what, you know, among the things I remember about John Hadle. And he and Gaylord Perry certainly going to be missed. I don't think Reggie Jackson was a big fan of batting against Gaylord Perry. There were some epic videos shown today of Reggie Jackson getting struck out and not particularly happy about some of the pitches that were coming in. And we're doing some very, very amazing dances as they got to home plate.
The thing is, the hitters knew what was coming, and like a knuckleball, couldn't touch it a lot of the times. Again, what Perry was doing forced some reform in Major League Baseball, and not to say that balls aren't doctored these days, but not so much as before.
Harder to do it with being checked basically after every half inning, as far as the pitchers are concerned, but. In the day, that was not the case. 319-366-1600, that is a text line. Some text coming in. 5418, love Gaylord Perry. Loved watching him pitch for the Braves. America's team, by the way, on TBS. He would throw a puff ball, the dust would explode, and the ball hit the catcher's mitt. It was fun. It was fun. So those two individuals definitely going to be missed out there. Before we get to playoff news, news from earlier on. In fact, Matt in Fairfax with the first text of the afternoon talking about that. Keegan Johnson, not a real big surprise. In fact, no surprise at all. He is going into the transfer portal. The Iowa wide receiver only got in, appeared in 2 games this year for the Hawkeyes. Very limited action. And he has already announced on Twitter that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. Matt Fairfax says, with more guys transferring, if there's no significant change in the coaching staff, how are they going to attract, quote, upgrades, unquote, for the team on offense? Well, they did get a commitment today from a walk-on wide receiver out of Illinois, a 6'4 wide out. And so that is, I guess, good news. Listen, everybody is playing the game. Iowa is going to lose players. Iowa State's going to lose players. They're going to gain players. Is Iowa going to gain as many as others? That remains to be seen. Also remains to be seen after the season if there indeed are going to be changes as far as the coaching staff is concerned. Right now, we can all speculate, but Mark, we would just be spitting into the wind, if you will, right? In the words of Gaylord Perry.
Yeah, Keegan Johnson, we hardly knew ye. 22 snaps this year is all he got because of injuries. It was reported by Kirk Ferentz, soft tissue issues, whatever that means. But we never got to see what Keegan Johnson could do. And maybe he'll land on his feet somewhere and have a brilliant career. I kind of hope so. But it's not going to be at Iowa.
Yeah. It will not. And he's got the ability. There's no doubt about that. There are rumors to the effect out there as well that Arlen Bruce may be the next wide receiver to go into the transfer portal. And already his landing spot being talked about is Kansas State. We'll see. We'll see. 319-366-1600. That's the Hawkeye news today. The national news, as far as the college football landscape is concerned, it is now official. The college football playoff, Mark, is going to expand, not next year, but the following year, from a 4-team playoff to a 12-team playoff with 4 byes for the first round. The first round of games will be played at a home site. For the seed that is the higher seed, for example, the 5 seed will host the 12 seed, 6, 11, 7, 10, 8, 9, And then the top four seeds will get a bye in that first round. They will get into it in the quarterfinals. Those games will take part in bowl games. Likewise, the semifinals will take part in bowl games. So we will see two more years of the New Year's Six games, Mark, until they are absorbed by the college football playoff. And with that in mind, one of the last traditions, I think, in college football will go by the wayside. Perhaps after this year, we could see the last Big Ten, Pac-12 matchup in the Rose Bowl this year, whomever that may be, and that will be announced on Sunday. But the Rose Bowl, they were holding out hope, if you will, or trying to do something to change things, et cetera, et cetera. Rose Bowl, obviously, the granddaddy of them all. They were at one point bigger than the college football playoff, I think. But they found out very quickly, I think in the last 24 hours, that they are no longer bigger than the college football playoff.
Rose Bowl tried to hang on as long as possible, and we kind of knew this was coming. It was agreed to in principle, the 12-team playoff, that is, in September, or a large part of it was anyway. But we've come to know over the years that things change. The Rose Bowl largely has not been what it was when I had an opportunity to cover a couple of them in the 80s. It was plain and simple. Pac 8, 10, 12, whatever it was, against the Big Ten, period. And this year may be the last. And that's a coveted time slot, really. When you talk about 4 o'clock Central Time, that's going to be a time slot that the college football playoffs want. As far as the playoffs themselves expanding, I don't like 12, never have. I don't believe any given year there's 12 teams capable of winning a national championship. Is that what it's all about? Well, yeah, I think it is. By and large, there are not 12 teams on any given year. Sometimes there's no more than four skilled and talented enough to win a national championship. It's all about, you know what, Scott, right?
It's green, and it pays for a lot of things. What do you think out there? Do you like it? Do you not like it? 319-366-1600 on the text line. Like to hear from you here today. I think I've been on the record, Mark. I think 12's too many. I would like 8's fine. I think it would eventually end up at 12. But you're right. Football is different from basketball for the nth time. Looking at the college football playoff rankings right now, Utah and Washington occupy 11 and 12. Actually, Kansas State, Utah, Washington, 10, 11, and 12. Three losses, two losses. Take Clemson, for example. Clemson would get an opportunity if an expanded college football playoff would take place this year. A two-loss Clemson team coming off a loss at home to their rival South Carolina. Do people really believe that this is a national championship club for Clemson? They are thinking that this is, you know, a disappointing season at 10-2. Granted, a lot of schools would like to take a 10-2 campaign. But for Clemson, you know, that's not a big deal. In fact, it's like, look forward to 2023 and see what happens around the corner. They're in the college football playoff. I mean, I'm with you. Usually there's about, I'm going to say maybe five or six teams on the outside that can claim, you know, a national championship, if you will. I don't see a lot of those 7, 8, 9 through 12 seeds getting close to a national championship. Do you?
I mean, Tulane would be in. You want to see a Tulane-Georgia game? Tulane's had a fine year.
Yeah, you're right. Because they're one of the group of five, yes.
Yeah. A Penn State would be in, good team, but you know, is it capable of winning a national championship? I have a hard time believing that. I mean, it's just too many. I think I would have been fine with 8, but I know where we're at right now, and it's not going to change. The Rose Bowl is going to go away as we know it. Not much more you can say about it.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class and KGYM. Thanks for joining us. Do appreciate it here. A couple of thoughts on the text line, and love to hear from you out there and what you think about it. First of all, 7042 says, is it really different than the NFL playoffs? Yeah, it is, because you're a 3-loss, 4-loss team in the NFL. I think you got a heck of a lot better chance than you do as far as college football is concerned. A lot more parity as far as the NFL is concerned. My opinion, though, Mark.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think the division between, or the split between, the very best teams in college football, and we're going to see those come Sunday after the conference championship games, who's going to be in, who's going to be out. Yeah, there may be 5 or 6. I don't know. I think Tennessee's a really good football team, despite the fact it doesn't have its quarterback, Hooker. But nevertheless, I think there's a clear divide between the top 4, 5, 6 teams and then on down to 12.
Yeah. 48-97, but it is basically 8. Just have play-in games for the 5 through 8 seeds, which is good for the game. Well, we'll see. Now, I ask you this as well. What's going to happen? Are we still going – are we going to lose some of those back-end bowl games now, Mark? Because you're taking away teams – from, I guess, the upper echelon bowl games, if you will. Already this year, there are going to be a handful of 5 and 7 teams that are going to be playing in bowl games. Do you really want – I mean, do we see the day a 4 and 8 team gets in a bowl game coming up in a couple of years because we have to fill out all these bowls that ESPN owns? I don't know. That remains to be seen. 38-30 says then 68 is too many as well in basketball. Well –
tell St. Peter's that.
That's true. They were, what, 14 last
basketball
year?
Basketball is a lot different game.
Yes.
A lot different game.
I agree. 78-54, well, people say there really isn't 12 teams capable of winning a national championship, but they say there are 68 basketball teams. St. Peter's, again, they didn't make it to the Final Four, but they got very, very close. 45-70 does bring up a very good point, Mark. Very good point. What about the team that does not have, for example, their quarterback for the first 2 games due to an injury, comes back, and they win 10 straight and win the conference?
Hello, South Carolina.
Very true. Very true. There are 3 undefeated teams in college after 12 weeks and 0 in the NFL. That is way different. Agrees, says 6608. I would agree with that. Yes, and Tim... right on the button. When you're older, you remember the way things were back in the day. The younger generation will never experience it, so they may not care about it. You're right, Tim. You are right.
Doesn't mean we can't enjoy the past, but I do embrace what's going on. Maybe kicking and screaming, I don't know. But I do embrace what's going on. I know it's quote-unquote progress. But I also know it's all about the what, Scott?
Well, it's about, green, about 8 inches across by 4.
I never measured my $20 bill.
No. 319-366-1600. You're right. We got to live with it. And, you know, you don't go kicking and screaming into the future. I guess you embrace it, as you mentioned. We're going to have a 12-team playoff. It's going to morph into 16, what, 10 years down the line, Mark? I would say anyway, we're going to have a 16-team playoff. I would like to see 8, but you get a lot more money by a 12-team playoff and a 16-team playoff. It was reported yesterday that the Rose Bowl was holding up over $400 million until they signed on to go with the flow as the college football playoff moves forward. Think about that figure, if you will. Crazy.
Yeah, I would agree. And I'm sorry you cut out there for a minute, so I didn't catch the whole point.
Oh, I just said think about the figures there as far as the, what the college football playoff expansion means, over $400 million. And
yeah,
the Rose Bowl's got to be a part of it, and they ended up saying, yeah, we're going to be a part of it. You can't live without it. And even if you are the granddaddy of them all in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, think about this, too, and it's a contrarian viewpoint. Every other division, I believe, has, what, FCS has 24 teams in its playoffs?
Correct.
Division III, I think, has 32, maybe, something like that. So it's not unusual to have a lot of teams incapable of winning a national championship. Sorry, Wartburg, I'm rooting for you in the Division III. But other divisions have quite a few teams in the playoffs. So I guess why not FBS?
Yeah. Wedge, our friend, the thing that is getting overlooked here is the avoidance of another UCF fiasco by taking the best group of five team, making them go on the road to play a team isn't exactly a level playing field. I honestly think they should split the two up. Well, that one, there was thoughts back, you know, not too long ago, Mark, that the Power Five was going to break off and have their own, you know, separate entity. Perhaps this means the end of that discussion. I don't know. The Power Five still holds all the cards as far as, you know, the power in college athletics is concerned, whether it be football, basketball, rowing, whatever the case may be. It's the Power Five's world, and we're all playing in it.
Very much so, and the other divisions benefit from that somewhat, maybe not the playoff portion of it, but, for example, Division III, we've learned from the American Rivers Conference that it does get some money from Division I. So it just doesn't help FBS and the Alabamas and Ohio States. It does help other divisions.
Yeah. By the way, before we get to a Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update here, interesting comments from Mark Farley in the Gazette today. Sat down with Colbert. Mark not real happy with the the college football, what, FCS playoff committee and what they did by not taking the Panthers. And any coach that was probably the first team on the outside is going to be unhappy. I mean, Youngstown State didn't get to go either with seven wins. And we'll see if UNI rethinks their schedule. Mark Farley kind of making the assumption that, you know what, I like the schedule we play. It's tough. We play some of the best FCS teams as well as that one Division I game, which everybody has to have to make money. I don't think it's going to change much, but Mark had some very candid comments today. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, I think one more win would have got you and I into the playoffs, but it's really a quandary because you need that bye game for your athletic department budget. This year it was Air Force. Sometimes it's Iowa State, whoever it may be. But you need that bye game for your coffers. Problem is, you and I got drilled by Air Force and didn't get rewarded for it. Mark Farley said, it seemed like last year when you and I got in at 6-5, that there was more emphasis placed on strength of schedule. And that wasn't so much the case this year, in Mark's opinion.
Yeah. Now we'll see if that goes back next year when another committee deliberates. Hey, you win eight, you don't have that problem, I guess. And that's one way to look at it here. 3:28, and we need to take and throw it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by the good folks at Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are right across from the Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot, and behind Taco John's. They're open up at 4 o'clock, and you can find out all about them by going online at emilshideaway.com. What do we have on the scoreboard?
Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields was a full participant today in practice. He appears, despite a left shoulder injury, he will be a go for Sunday's game against the Packers. Michigan running back Blake Corum will undergo knee surgery and miss the rest of the season, which, of course, includes the Big Ten championship game and perhaps the college football playoffs. Tough blow for Blake Corum, but you could tell he wasn't ready to go in the Ohio State game. Arlen Harris Jr. is going to visit Iowa this coming weekend and then Iowa State next weekend. He's a running back transfer from Stanford. He played sparingly this year for Stanford. David Shaw out, switch of coaches. Harris originally was recruited by Iowa and Iowa State. In fact, he visited Iowa five times in 2018 and 19. He's out of the St. Louis area. And finally, a splash ash report. Austin Ash, 22 points last night in a victory for the Citadel, which now stands 5-3.
Citadel's off to a good start. Very good start. So is our friend Austin. Doing good things. Doing really good things. Hey, this just in. The Michigan backups are good.
Yeah.
It is bad for Blake Corum. Definitely the bell cow as far as the running back position for Michigan is concerned. But I think Michigan will be okay. I think they'll be fine coming up on Saturday night. But you got to play the game against the Purdue Boilermakers. By the way, Penn State, what's Penn State's best win? Was it Purdue or against a down, way down Auburn team? That's their best win.
Yeah, flip a coin, I suppose. Maybe Purdue. I don't know.
I'd say Purdue, since they won the West. I think that's the best win that Penn State has in their 10-2 season. Lost, of course, to Michigan and Ohio State. 3:31, we're going to take a break, come back, and we'll talk hoops with Kevin Lehman. It'll be our off-the-glass segment. We'll have it for you right after this here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we're going to have plenty of sunshine today, but it is going to be breezy. Winds will be coming in strong out of the south. That'll boost temperatures into the upper 30s to low 40s. Tonight we'll have clear skies. It stays breezy. Temperatures just drop into the upper 20s. Tomorrow clouds are going to be building in ahead of a cold front. That will lead to strong south winds. That will send temperatures into the low 50s. And then cooler air will move in for the start of the weekend. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
This is a test of the emergency alert system.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with promo code COON. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. You can combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. With live betting, you'll get updated odds on games that have already started, and you get your winnings paid fast, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So sign up today with promo code COON for your no-sweat first bet. That's promo code KUHN. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Iowa. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable. Free bets expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Love is about tomorrow. A promise of growing together through time. The Dickens family understands that. It's why, at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, though every proposal is special, there's still something extra special about a holiday engagement. Maybe you plan to present that dazzler down on one knee. Perhaps it'll wait silently in a stocking. Or maybe you've made intricate plans no one could even guess. No matter how you plan to pop the question this season, Hertin and Stocker will help you find the perfect ring to suit that very special hand you're asking for. Love is in the details, which is why Hertin and Stocker offers so many ring choices, from the most affordable to all-out bling. They also offer financing and their signature free layaway. So, stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and find the perfect ring with help from Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back on the gym class here at KGYM on this Thursday edition of the show. Coming up tomorrow, Friday edition, we will have the Emil Sideaway pick six for you. The panel will get together and we'll pick some games, give somebody out there a chance to win a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway. A couple of texts to get to here before we talk some hoops with Kevin Lehman. 8699 says, keep the strength of schedule for Mark Farley and the Panthers. They have done it before. And 7854 reminding us Penn State did beat Minnesota. What's a better win, Minnesota at home or at Purdue? I think Purdue, Mark.
Yeah, maybe flip a coin there. The fact that Purdue won the West, I, you know, what that counts for, I'm not so sure this year. But your point being is that Penn State doesn't have a signature win.
No, but they could be playing for a national championship.
Yep.
All right. We got 68 teams in basketball playing for a national championship, and we're going to talk hoops right now with our friend Kevin Lehman, the coach. It's our Off the Glass segment each Thursday right here in the gym class on KGYM, where we get together and talk college basketball. And I don't know, have we ever asked you this, Kevin? Is 68 too many for the NCAA tournament now that we're going to 12 for football in a couple years?
I think we had this discussion a couple of weeks ago, because there's some talk of, you know, going 96 or some crazy number.
Right.
I kind of like the old format of 64 because it fits so nicely. But you know what it's about, guys? TV money. Let's get some of those teams in the middle of the Power Fives, the major conferences in the NCAA, and save those coaches' jobs. I don't think they're going to expand and get more mid-majors in there.
Probably not. Probably not indeed.
Right. We talked to you last night, Kevin. You were on your way to Tennessee. What's going on?
I got Belmont's opener in the Valley against Valparaiso, and Clay Matvick's with me, my play-by-play partner. He did not know that this is a sleeping giant here at Belmont. Their campus is absolutely gorgeous. The Curb Center, perfect size, seats just under 6,000, brand-new practice facility. This place got it going, this would be a really good game tonight at the opener. But keep your eye on Belmont. We know they have tremendous tradition. They've been in postseason play 15 of the last 17 seasons. 9 NCAAs they've qualified for, and they have a short history as a Division I school. So it's, you know, in Nashville, as you guys know, this city is humming.
Could be humming more in a few weeks if a certain football team down 380 makes their way down there. We'll see that down the line first. But Valley got started last night, and both UNI and the favorite Drake Bulldogs go down to defeat Drake at the hands of Indiana State, who's, would you say, the Sycamores are at least going into the Valley season the surprise of the conference on how well they've done so far?
Not the surprise to me. I always had them as my sleeper, chasing Drake, Bradley, and Southern. They went to the transfer portal, got some good players, kept the guys they wanted, got Macaulay kid from DePaul's at 12 last night. And the freshman, Robbie Avila, I don't know if you watched that game, but Northern Iowa had a big recruiting battle with Indiana State. They both wanted this guy. He's kind of a Crutwig-type guy, Cameron Crutwig, that Loyola had great success with. And they got, you know, Robbie Mason out of Regina High. What they did was they went to Jeff Horner School at Truman State and did the portal rate of Division II. They got the player of the year in that league that they had down there. So they kind of, you know, that portal trickles down, guys. But I think it was a game that Darren DeVries was very concerned about. Tucker DeVries did not have a great game over there. But Indiana State, they're a team to watch out for. They play an NBA style. They like the three ball. They play through their point forwards. So didn't surprise me that much. But and Northern Iowa's a different story. They got to get some more offense to that Northern Iowa team.
Drake, the preseason favorite. When it goes wrong for Drake, what usually happens?
I'll tell you what they're missing. Tremell Murphy was kind of their alpha dog, that tough guy that was, you know, he's kind of like Conor McCaffrey. If there was a fight, he was going to be in the middle of it. He was the enforcer. They're missing that frontline guy that can guard the physical threes and fours in this league. That's the difference from last year's team. Roman Penn, tremendous last night. Everybody else is back. I still, even though they got beat last night by a couple, that was a tough matchup. I still think by far the rest of the league is chasing Drake, and the Valley Titans are going to go through the Nap Center in Des Moines.
No one was going to go undefeated in the Valley. I mean, it's very hard in any conference to go undefeated throughout.
Well, they send you on the road that first game. That's always that one. And we're seeing this in these leagues now, the Big Ten, the Valley. You're getting two games. Thanksgiving is last week, guys. We're playing league games in this still in November. That just hasn't happened before. And you kind of wonder, you know, how good you are right now, your team looks like right now. It's going to look a lot different in February and March.
The Big Ten ACC Challenge is over. The ACC won it 8-6. Michigan State got waxed last night. Ohio State went down to Duke. Iowa's next opponent. What did you make of that series?
Well, I got a call yesterday from Steve Forbes. He wanted to brag about his win at Wisconsin at the Kohl Center.
He should.
He told him at the post-game press conference that Lone Tree's fight song is the Wisconsin fight song. So that would be a Forbesy moment. He was really excited about it, guys. And, he'd never been to Kohl Center before. That one, that was a big win for Wake Forest. I was surprised, though, Mark, that the ACC won that thing 8-6. Because I think, in my opinion, the ACC's down a little bit. Once you get past Virginia, Duke with a new coach, North Carolina, second-year coach, got bumped up by Iowa State. I just don't know how strong the ACC is this year.
You did the Iowa-Georgia Tech game in Iowa City on Tuesday night. You got to see a whale of a performance by Chris Murray, that's for sure, 31-20. That was a career high in both of those statistics as far as the former Prairie Hawk is concerned. And, boy, how good was Chris that night in person?
Dare I say maybe better than his twin, Keegan Murray? It was unbelievable performance because it was such – to me, it was like a quiet 31 and a quiet 20 rebounds. But certainly, you know, he wants to get out of the shadow of his brother, and he certainly has done that. A lot of comparisons, left-handed. But he still got they both have those same skill sets, long arms, soft hands. And I tell you, this is one thing you can never coach. Repeat jumpers, I call them. Quick off the floor, and they get a miss a shot, they're right back there to get their own miss. And he's got that three-point range. I mean, just, I thought, unbelievable performance. And if you're an NBA scout, you got to be drooling over this guy too, don't you think, guys?
Yeah, although He's a different player than Keegan. I mean, going inside, not quite the finisher with the strength, but I think a better outside shooter than Keegan, though. So that kind of counteracts a little bit. But he's gonna have a shot next year. I don't think, or whenever he decides to. I'm not going to say next year because he does have 2 years of eligibility remaining. So, well, that remains to be seen. But I think he's going to be somebody that the NBA is going to take a very hard look at.
Yeah, and he's got. I think he's a better passer than his brother. You know, 4 assists last night. Probably not quite. You know, Keegan was. And if you talk to Fran McCaffrey, he just says, you know, Keegan was just an alpha dog. He just wanted the ball in crucial times. So we have to see throughout the season if Chris is that guy that's going to win games on the stretch in the Big Ten, where you got, you know, those things are grinded out games, and you got to be able to make plays in the last 2 minutes. They're going to win or lose a game for you. We'll see if. Guy.
Kevin, the one thing, see what you think about this. The one thing that concerns me about Iowa is its 3-point shooting. Aside from Murray and Conor McCaffrey, the rest of the team was 2 out of 14 against Georgia Tech. And you, as a former coach, you can speak to this. When a guy goes through a shooting slump like Peyton Sanford is going through right now, what's happening there, and what about the three-point shooting?
Well, I think that's an accurate look at what Iowa is right now at, you know, 34%. You'd like to get that thing around 36, 37. But you got some candidates that can shoot. You know, Perkins, 2-for-11 on the season. I think he's a better shooter than he's showing. And we know Peyton Sanford can shoot it. I think he's just a little bit of a low right now. Patrick McCaffrey, been up and down. The thing is, those guys all have the potential to do it, and that's what makes them scary when you get ready to prepare to play the Hawkeyes, because you're not sure which guy is going to get hot. And Connor McCaffrey, well, he's down. He's not playing baseball anymore, and there's been a huge difference in his game, his ability to shoot the basketball. And this is an Iowa team, again, high assist team, low turnover team. And if you talk to opposing coaches, it's a difficult team to prepare for because they can hit you in so many ways in transition. And here's what really makes Iowa difficult to prepare for. Any of their players can take the ball off the glass and start the break. It's not like you got to get to your point guard and the other guys get back and match up. Even Josh Pastner said that. Boy, it's hard to get back and stop them in a fast break situation because anybody can be bringing it, and they can all fill different spots. So it's difficult to get them stopped in transition. If you don't do that, it doesn't matter what you're doing in your half-court defense.
Yeah. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us here on Thursday edition of the Gym Class and KGYM. It's our off-the-glass segment. You mentioned Iowa State's win over North Carolina, then number one North Carolina, and who knows, Tar Heels may be out after the Indiana loss. That's their third loss of the year. I don't think you can discredit Iowa State, even though Carolina has lost three. Caleb Grill was sensational. Iowa State's defense is just as good, maybe better this year than it was last year. They don't have that superstar guy like Brockington that you can count on night in and night out, but they've gotten performances from different guys, whether it be Harris. Kalsher stepped up in the first game of the tournament. And then, of course, Caleb Grill went off for 31 against North Carolina. So Iowa State's getting points from somebody on that roster each night to go along with the defense.
I think you hit that right in the head, Scott. They are a better team defensively because they have the rim protector in Oshuni. And Jaron Holmes, I think he's a bucket getter for him. Caleb Grill was sensational in that game. I mean, he was hitting some big-time threes and some deep threes. We're going to think about this, guys. We got a game here at Carver Hawkeye coming up next week when the Cyclones come to town. Huge. It's like reminds me of George Niang. They may be blowing kisses to the student section again in that game. And I think that rivalry is going to really take a step forward with KJ Osterberger and what Fran's got going on. I'm really excited about that game next week.
Well, that's the middle game of a three-game stretch in 6 days for the Iowa Hawkeyes. It starts Tuesday at the Garden against Duke, and then that Iowa State game, and then the start of Big Ten play against Wisconsin. Kevin, watching Duke-Ohio State last night, and I texted Scott this, I really think the Duke bigs are going to give Iowa problems.
Any team that's physical, and we saw TCU do that, that's going to be the one caveat, the one cavity in the game for the Hawks. Physical front lines will be a problem for them. We lost Georgia Tech. They had quickness, explosive guys. Their length gave them problems. But I think you really hit this on the head there, Mark, that physical teams will be a problem up front. And we have a Philip Rabrasha that is playing with extreme confidence inside. But, you know, he's really an undersized five, maybe an old-school four-man. And that's going to be the issue with the Hawks, especially when you go on the road. So you're going to find out about this is a nice stretch for Hawks. You're going to find out a lot about them. You got Duke on a neutral court, very winnable game. And then you got, you know, the rivalry game with Iowa State. And then you got Wisconsin to open up your Big Ten schedule. So we'll know so much more about Iowa. And I think we got a little taste of them against Clemson. TCU, physical team, gave them problems. They didn't shoot it well. And Georgia Tech, they just outmatched them as far as skill-wise. But this will be a good test for the Hawkeyes. But I still, there's something about this Iowa team I really like. They're just fun to watch, and they're really good offensively. You know, a typical Fran McCaffrey-type team.
Very true. A couple of questions for you I will pass along to you here, Kevin. First of all, ask what you think of DeSante Bowen. And then, does Chris Murray look to you like Tony Kukoc? A smaller version.
Left-handed. They're left-handed, yeah. Yeah, he does. You know, his shot looks like his. They do have the same similar shot. But, you know, lefties always kind of look alike when they shoot the three ball. And, you know, they got Ulis back in the starting lineup. Didn't shoot it well, but five assists the other night. When they put those two guys in there, Bowen and Ulis, I think for short periods, they can really create some havoc defensively because of their quickness. I don't know how long you can play those two together, but I think for small amounts of time, they can up-tempo a game. And we've seen Fran do that. Things are moving a little bit slow. And his famous word, we're a little bit sideways. You put those two in there and can up-tempo the game and kind of change the perspective of the game. I like that thing about those two guards together.
There you go.
Kevin, we got your permission to talk about this, and I know you've been dealing with some medical issues and in and around the Dickie V festivities and whatnot. Can you share what's going on?
Certainly, Mark. I'd love to. It's emotional, but if I can tell my story, my battle with cancer, and it will help raise more funds, either Jimmy V Foundation or Coaches vs. Cancer, to find, you know, more research and find cures for cancer. I'm all for sharing my story. I was diagnosed with B-cell lymphoma in August, and I'm in a great place because the Holden Comprehensive Cancer Center, there's none better. Dr. Umar Farouk's my doctor. That guy is a freaking rock star, and I've been through three chemos. I got one next week, and he was so good because part of that beating cancer is your attitude. And my girlfriend Madonna said, hey, you know, he's got to go do the Virgin Island Paradise Jam because that's huge for Kevin. And he worked my chemo in there so I could go do that tournament because your immune system gets knocked out. I had to be real careful on the plane and the airports. But, you know, here's the best thing about it, guys. You know, the three worst hurt words you can ever hear is you have cancer, and the four best ones is your cancer is remission. So I did a PET scan in early November, and I was in 100% remission. I still have to do some follow-ups, but I can't say enough good things about the Holden Comprehensive Cancer Center. You know, Patrick McCaffrey and Fran, they went to the Children's Hospital on his situation. But I just have to say, if you can, you know, if you have a chance to donate, because it's going to affect you, your family members, relatives, friends. Everybody's got to know somebody that's had a battle with cancer, and it's not going to go away. We just need more funds and more research. So I'm happy to share my story because hopefully I can keep beating this. But, you know, it's I'm cancer-free for now, but you never know what's going to come back. But if you can reach out and get funds, that certainly is. I really think that speech that Jim Valvano gave helped raise money to give the cure for me. So I'm extremely thankful for that foundation.
Yeah, and Dickie V, very passionate. We had a chance, Mark and I, to go down and talk and meet with him a few years back down at Riverside when he was here for the big gala down there. So, yeah, with Iowa playing in the Jimmy V Classic on Tuesday night, great chance to help out not only everybody that is dealing with cancer, but especially when it's close to home like that. So keep that in mind.
I try to kind of keep it quiet, but when that thing happened, and of course you can tell I got a new haircut, so you do save a lot of money. I have no hair. You save a lot of money on shampoo. and haircuts. That's the good thing about it.
Yeah, well.
But they asked me to share it on TV, and I did, so it's kind of, everybody knows about it now, so I'm happy to share my story about this battle I'm having.
Well, good news, and hopefully it keeps going in that positive direction right there. So have a good call with Belmont and Valpo with the Valley Opener coming up, and look forward to talking with you next Thursday when it'll be Iowa State, and that will be fun down at Carver Hawkeye. So take care, Kevin.
All right, guys, I appreciate all your support. Thanks. Have a great day.
You too. Kevin Lehman, the coach, our Off the Glass segment here on the Gym Class on KGYM. We'll take a break, come back, a bowling night in America wrap up for you right after this.
There's always something special. special at Siegel's.
Siegel's holiday savings start now. Our entire selection of designer, vintage, estate jewelry, bridal rings, watches, gold, and sterling are at 40 to 70% off retail savings. Tennis bracelets and diamond studs, both laboratory grown and mined, 50% off. No interest layaway and Synchrony financing available. Located one block south of Town and Country Shopping Center on First Avenue.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
Tempty isn't just trailers. Tempty is made in America custom-built trailers specifically for dry bulk transportation. Doubling down on their Midwestern pride, Tempty is opening a new location in Cedar Rapids right off 380. This state-of-the-art facility will feature 11 drive-through service bays, a 3,600-square-foot parts warehouse, and sales of their industry-leading new and used trailers. Visit Tempty.com for construction updates, job opportunities, and more. Tempty of Cedar Rapids, Iowa's premier trailer destination.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
Oh, and it was a Wednesday in a Bowling Night in America. And the wrap-up brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. Not such a good one for the Rusty Nails last night. Pro Bowling Concepts kind of took the measure of us last night, Mark.
22-8 was the score, a loss for the Rusty Nails. Kind of one step forward last week, one step back this week. But so the season goes. The Rusty Nails drop from second to fourth. Still not bad, not bad, not bad. But we'll try to regain the ground next week. Top bowlers in the Adult Evergreen League last night. Ryan Bundy, high game with 286. Chad Durline, high series, 752, and Mike Robinson right behind at 751.
Yeah, and best to Chad as well. That was the last night we'll see him for a while, at least on the lanes. So he went out with a good one right there. And, yeah, we didn't bowl bad. They bowled better, and that's kind of the name of the game. And we get that top-rated team next week. It's a biggie next Wednesday night.
Oh, joy. Yeah. Yeah, Chad going through some back surgery today. Hope he has a good recovery there. But it'll be a tough one next week, but we'll show up, right?
We're going to be there. We will be there coming up next week. And you can be at May City Bowl as well, Mark.
Indeed. Open bowling, league availability, equipment. Give them a call, 362-0136, or visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
And some well wishes coming in for Kevin, and just wanted to pass that along to him. And we'll talk with Kevin, of course, coming up next Thursday. Todd and Alex coming your way next here on KGYM. We got Thursday Night Football, a good one tonight between Buffalo and New England. Mark, we'll talk with you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Talk then.
It's been the Gym Class, KGYM.
Ladies and gentlemen, please. 40, love, match point. Out.